you could turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, verse 29 to 41. And as I read this, just to give you some context, what has just happened is that the disciples were not really sure what to do after Jesus went to be with the Father again. All they really decided to do was to worship and pray together. And as they're waiting and praying together and worshiping together, this great thing happened. All these people from different countries, different backgrounds, they all came together. And then all of a sudden, these tongues of fire descended upon them. And they began to understand each other. And people began to think, like, what is this strange thing that's happening? Some people even thought it was so strange, they said, well, maybe they're just drunk. It was like, they were saying, no. This isn't the time, this isn't the hour for liquor. What is going on right now? And basically, Peter comes before them and he stands up and he explains that this is actually a part of what God is doing in the midst of them. And he goes through the scriptures and he explains. And this is where we're kind of picking up. So Acts chapter 2, verse 29 to 41. You can follow along in your Bibles or on the screen. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here today. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out now what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord God will call. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we are so thankful that we have been the recipients of your good news. We pray today, Lord, that you would settle our hearts, that we may hear your still small voice speaking to us. God, may we hear anew the power of the gospel, but also today, Lord, may we hear anew the power of your calling. That, Lord, today even, that if you speak to us, Lord, that we would be obedient to hear your voice speaking to us and how we may come out of our comfort zones and be your servants in this community and for the world abroad. We thank you, Lord, for your abundant grace. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would be the main teacher here today, that you would be the true pastor here, that you would guide us all in the way that you desire. Thank you, Lord, so much for this precious time of worship together. We love you, Lord, and we bless you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, I want to just begin again and explain a bit about Acts. Acts is the beginning of the church, and what we have just read here is a snippet of how the church began. And what happened was, right after being touched with the Spirit, Peter is addressing the crowd around them, and he shared about who Jesus was. And this is what I kind of want to start off today, is to share, is that, you know, when the Spirit touches us, it's convicting us to stop simply looking inwards, but to also think outwards. It's a natural progression of how God works. And so let me explain a bit going back. In Acts chapter 1 and earlier, Jesus Christ had come to this earth God's only son. And he came to this earth to serve and to show them that a new kingdom had come. Up to this point, they had understood a kingdom that was oppressive, that was abusive, a kingdom that wasn't based on love, but was based on power and coercion. But Jesus Christ came into the world and said, a new kingdom is at hand. And this kingdom is not like the kingdoms of the world that you've seen. This kingdom has a king whose greatest command is that you love him with all that you are and to love your neighbor. And he said, yea, verily, even your enemies. And this is a sign of the new kingdom. And he began displaying the sign of that new kingdom. But the problem was, it's hard for us to come be a part of that kingdom because we have this separation from God. We would rather choose our own ideas. We'd rather choose ourselves as God rather than God himself. And this problem has been with humanity for all of its history. This selfish curving inwards away from God and away from our neighbor. And what's the biblical understanding of this irrational inward curving of this selfishness away from God and from each other? We call it sin. Far much greater than just like a bad thing or a bad act. Sin is a fundamental problem where we would rather serve ourselves rather than God, who had created us and loves us dearly. Rather than receive his great love, we would rather reject it and try and get by on our own. And it's that separation from God that also bleeds out into our separation with each other. But the good news that we read in the Bible is this, is that this separation ultimately leads to an eternity without God. That should be the ultimate end of it. But God, in his great mercy, said, rather than doing that, I will send my son to give his life for you, to receive all of the things that separate us from God and from each other, and to put it upon the cross, and as it's nailed to the cross, all the things that separate us from God and from each other are now nailed to the cross and destroyed. The powers that separate us from God and from each other are destroyed. And not only that, Jesus Christ rose again 3 days later to show that God is offering us a new life. Just as Jesus rose again to a new life and was born again, he's saying to everyone here in this place, you too can be born again into a new life where you enter into a new kingdom where God is king and where the greatest rule of all is not who is most powerful or who is most influential, but the greatest rule is that you love God with all your heart and all your being and you love your neighbor. And this kingdom is very different. And God is offering to us forgiveness for our sins, for a way to turn away and to turn to this new kingdom through Jesus Christ. And this message wasn't fully understood at this time, and Peter was bringing it all together. They were looking around, and they saw people from all these different countries. We read in Acts that Luke takes great pains to list all the different countries that were all the different places that were represented in the upper room as they were praying. And why did he do that? Just because he was like, you know, very anal about details? No, he was trying to say, look at all these different people, these different languages, these different backgrounds, all coming together. And they tried to get together and pray together. But there was division, and there was separation. But as they began to pray and focus on the one God, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, and this great miracle happened. They said, how can this be that we understand everyone? You know, the Pentecostals like to come to this one and say, like, see, this is the evidence of speaking in tongues and such. And, you know, I'm not going to get into that whole discussion today if people are, you know, stressed about that. What I want to say is, like, if you're reading this and doing the biblical study of it, what is the great miracle here? Is that God brings people who are different together under one language, under God. And Peter says, this is not a surprise. We've been reading this. In the Old Testament, God had promised that he would pour out his Spirit upon the young and the old, upon sons and daughters. And all of us would have the Holy Spirit in us. This is the excitement and the promise, the foundation of which the church began. It is at this point we read that thousands were added to them. Before, they were huddled in a room, just praying, not sure what's going on. But after this encounter with the Holy Spirit, they had a purpose and a mission. And this is where I want to begin. You see, this is when the church began to think about missions. It's right at the beginning. It's part of who we are. But missions has been confused over time. You know, sometimes missions has been an obligation, a duty. Sometimes missions has been seen as a great endeavor only done by the very pious few. You know, it is something done by only the really super spiritual. Or mission is something that we'll relegate to several. While we just fund them, we'll send off the others to do that work of mission. Mission is not like that. If you look at what missions is here, as we look in Acts, it's basically when people receive the Holy Spirit, when they receive that new relationship with Jesus Christ, when they hear this good news that God is offering forgiveness. He's saying, isn't this great? Isn't it something that we just can't contain? Let's share about it. And this is what God is asking for us today, too. The good news has come to us. You know, missions is so much more than just a project or an endeavor. It is a lifestyle. It's an attitude. You know, we must no longer seek after our own ideas of missions and realize that the most important thing is who is missions about? It's about Jesus Christ and the good news he's given us. You see, missions is not a program for us to go out and to feel good about ourselves. But missions is a program where we feel the conviction of God and we go out to share the good news. We can definitely do missions and definitely be blessed by it. Last year I went to Japan and I went to be a blessing, but undoubtedly I felt like I was more blessed. There is an amazing thing that as we go out to be a blessing, God blesses us much more greatly, much greatly. But we don't want to simply make ourselves feel better. We want to show that the mission of God has started in our heart. When Jesus Christ came out of his comfort zone, though he was very nature God, he humbled himself and made himself nothing and extended himself to us and humbled himself in the form of a servant and was obedient to the Father, even unto death. And people are saying, wow, that sounds really familiar. Yes, it's Philippians chapter 2. Jesus Christ extended himself to us and even to death on a cross. And because of this great obedience, the Father exalted him to the highest place. And though you are children of God, you have received the good news. God is calling you to humble yourself and to go out to the various areas and not come in this kind of position of power, but in a position of humility to serve wherever God may take you. Now that the mission of God started in your heart, continue the mission wherever God may take you. And this message is a message of both word and deed. Let me tell you a little bit about church history without boring you too much, hopefully. But you know, there's this thing that happened in church. You know, in the recent church in the past century, there was this kind of strange double movement that was happening. One of the churches, some people in the church, they began to see, you know, we can't just talk about Jesus' love and not meet the needs of the people. And so they began to think about, let's start meeting people where they're at. Like, if they're struggling with unemployment, are they struggling with addictions like alcohol? Are they struggling? What are the people concerned about? How can we talk to them about these super spiritual things if we don't face their everyday struggles? Isn't our message kind of cheap if we don't do that? And so they began to just really reach out to the social issues. But what happened was they began so focused on the social issues, they had forgotten about the one who was inspiring these missions of compassion and justice. And oftentimes, they would begin to think, like, the most important thing is love, and that is all. But they had forgotten who was love, which was God, as we read in 1 John. And so, as a result, we had another movement that came in reaction, and they said, you people have completely lost the point of the gospel, which is Jesus Christ. And so we are going to focus on the biblical understanding of who God is, who Jesus Christ is. And they became super spiritual. But as they became spiritual, they said, you know, we don't want to be involved with those social issues because that's not what really helps people. What really helps people is theology, spirituality. And so now this divide has occurred where you come to some churches where they are so powerful in helping in acts of mercy. But to understand who Jesus Christ is very difficult. And then you come to other churches that are so spiritual, you walk in and you feel like everyone's like walking on a cloud or something. But what does this cloud, how does this cloud result to the people outside my church, just two blocks down? I don't know. We have churches that talk about holiness so much that they have no relevance to society. We have churches that are so interested in society they have no relevance to holiness. And we look back a little bit and we see someone named John Wesley who talked about two kinds of holiness, and he said they are the same thing. He said a social and a personal holiness are one and the same. When the Holy Spirit hits us with conviction, let's not be people that are simply words and ideas. But let's not be people that are simply actions either. Let's be bigger than words. Let's go out to share our deeds of goodness and compassion, regardless of background or faith or social standing. But then, let's be bigger than our actions. Let's tell them we're not just doing this because we're nice people. We do this because we're forgiven people by God's grace. We do this because Jesus Christ has been gracious to us. And now we want to be gracious to others. You know, for whatever reason you came to this church, maybe you came through a cell group, maybe on a Sunday, maybe cool church kids, you have seen a glimpse of God's grace. But the mission wasn't supposed to just stop with you. The mission is to go outwards. In God's grace, we have the ability to go from this place and transform the world. But we can't just do that on good intentions and good ideas. It starts, as we read in Acts, with the Holy Spirit, with God Himself. And people say, like, well, you know, Pastor Sam, when you preach like that, it sounds so big, and I'm just so small. But, you know, I think what was really encouraging about Jennifer's testimony is that it doesn't start with this huge, like, God inscribing great things in the clouds with his finger. It starts with a still, small voice. And as people are in tune and in relationship with God, you'd be surprised how God makes these opportunities happen. You know, Jennifer showed how, well, there are all these obstacles. I couldn't do it. But then, sure enough, as she continued to pursue God, God spoke in that still, small voice. And just like that, he began to open the doors. Today, I want to challenge us as a church about missions. What is the still small voice in our hearts saying? To what doors is he opening us? Maybe some of those doors have been, you know, locked shut out of pessimism or out of cynicism, disbelief. Can God really do that here? Can God do that in me? But you'd be surprised. And as a pastor, you'd think I'd get used to this by now, but I continue to get surprised. You know, when Rhea and I have devotions together, I'm constantly reminded is that, you know, we are living in such a blessed time, being here in North America. We are so blessed to live in such a blessed country. There are many people here today who cannot gather like this, who cannot who cannot even feel like tomorrow is a guarantee. But here we are, so blessed. And so we are always challenged to think, God, are we listening to your voice that if you were to send us out on your mission, would we be ready at whatever time? And that's what happens when the Spirit falls on us. I'm not saying that he's going to call you to the other side of the world. But God is a God who has done a mission in your life. And now he's calling you out to another mission. And I'd like to encourage us to think about, you know, what are the ways we as individuals can start to think about the needs around us? How is, you know, let us be more sensitive to the voice of God around us, about the people he makes us encounter. How can we as a church show that we are committed to both sharing the gospel and helping the actual physical needs of our community? You know, I see the wonderful beginnings of it at CCC. Not just the beginnings, but I do see it in action. We have the wonderful community center. And then we are sending people off into different missions. But let us continue to grow and mature and to develop this. Because this is the power of the church. That if we have the good news, you know, dare I say it, if we have those good sweet potato fries, you know, God's calling us to share. God is calling us to be generous. As God was generous to us to share the word with us, let us share the word with others. But not just the word, but our love and our compassion and our justice in all its forms. Many people, I remember talking to one pastor who took the charge of this one church. And for many years, this Asian American church was very small, and it was struggling. And it was interesting. He went in there, and he just started talking to them about the gospel. He just said, this is Jesus, and this is what he's come to do, just like what Peter did. And what he said was amazing for him was that this church had never heard the gospel before. And they were amazed. And the church just started growing, I mean, not necessarily in number, but in spirituality, in faith, in maturity, because they heard this message. And they not only heard it, but they wanted to act upon it. Just as Peter shared this message, I find it really interesting. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, we read in verse 37. And they said to each other, brothers, what shall we do? You know, when you hear the gospel, I think a very good response to it is to turn to each other and say, what should we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins. But the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. This is not a message to be held onto, but to be shared. A lot of times when we struggle in our faith, when we feel like, why am I not growing in faith? It's perhaps you're holding on to a message that should not be held on to. It's when we expand our lives, just as God has expanded his life unto us, that we begin to see the power of the gospel, the power of God's grace in our life. I stand here before you as a missionary from Canada. And, you know, just going to all these different countries and to be able to minister, it's expanded my understanding of who God is. And though there was a lot of suffering in a lot of it, I would never take it back because I've seen more of God and I want to see more of God everywhere. And that's my challenge for us as a church. Maybe you've been feeling to this point like, do I feel stagnation in my faith? You know, I'm sort of in a rut. Let's begin to think again about how our faith can turn from the inside to the outside. Let us think about ways that we can kind of encourage each other to be obedient to the still small voice that speaks in us. God is speaking even now in your hearts. Perhaps even as I'm speaking, he's putting on your heart some issue, some place where you've closed the door to. And God is saying, time to open that door again and reach out. I would like to say that's not a coincidence. The Holy Spirit is here speaking to us even now. Let us listen. Let us be that people of mission. Amen. Amen.